This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Making the decision here, although I'm not sure it's the right one, I'm going to go with it. As Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, to start with the players the Bills actually did draft. What do you think?
What a crazy idea.
What do you think?
I can hear radios being turned off by the dozens.
I know.
Who is this, TJ Sanders?
Sal, you called it. Three defensive players with the first three picks. That happened. It might have even included the defensive tackle you thought in your mock draft that the Bills might pick at 30. He went at 28 instead. So good job on that. Did they go too far? Do you think that some of the pushback, if that's really it, this weekend, today, this morning, about their draft is that they kept going with another defensive player, another corner, you know, for most of the draft? There were ultimately three offensive players picked.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks, guys. Yeah, and I've been saying for a month and a half, I thought two defensive linemen and a corner, so that worked out. I just didn't have the order quite right, but you never know. Maybe it would have been that way if Tyleek Williams had fallen to pick number 30, but you know, they did concentrate on defense. It was even more heavy than I expected. I expected three defenders in the first three picks, as I said, frequently, and then getting into, you know, day number three, it continued that way. Six of their first seven were defensive players. Did they go too far? Of course, that's a perspective that you could have. I mean, I understand why people would say that. But look, I mean, again, bringing to the Bills' perspective what they think, they clearly made a statement here. This is a statement. I wrote about this at WGR550.com. My reaction article was basically, you know, it was like Oprah handing out cars. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Brandon Bean handing out defensive players to his coaching staff. You get a defender, and you get a defender, and you get a defender. And it just kept going, and I think what the Bills did here, if you go back all the way from really March when free agency started through the draft, you look at their roster, you look at their turnover, it's understandable because they've had so many returning players on offense versus defense. They have made a clear statement that they need to really kind of change this defense much more than the offense.
Yeah, and I think I can see where they accomplished that. Sal, I mean, I think all four of the top four guys they picked, Hairston, Sanders, Jackson, and Walker, two of those four, Sanders and Walker being defensive tackles, at the least have an opportunity to be part of a rotation right away this season. And if, you know, who knows, if not more. So, like, on one hand, sure, I wanted a receiver at some point before the very last pick that they owned, but I kind of like those first four picks. I think they really did address holes they had in their roster.
Yeah, so you're not going to cut a fifth round pick or below. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? I mean, I think maybe I've heard of one fifth round pick getting cut in the last few years, or maybe a couple over the league, but it just doesn't happen. So you can safely say that the guys drafted anywhere from fifth round and below that are going to make the team. And then from there, I think once you go and take a defensive tackle in the fourth round, he's probably playing. I mean, you know, he's going to see time. If not, he's inactive on game day, which could happen. And this particular player, that could happen, Deion Walker, because he is recovering from a back injury. Now, the Bills said, Brandon Bean said, he could play a game today if they had a game, but they're going to take it slow with him. They want to make sure he's right and he's set, and I understand that. Now, to your point, Bulldog, of the guys they took early to contribute, I agree with that. The only thing that kind of surprised me with all of this, taken into account, was I thought they would go for a bigger body or a little bit earlier because that's not T.J. Sanders.
Right.
T.J. Sanders is more of a three technique, right? He's more of a penetrator. He's a guy that really is known for his pass rush, getting up the field. And then when you get to Deion Walker, there's more of the body of the one technique, but there is question about whether he can handle the one technique at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch last year especially, he was very high when he plays because he's an athlete. And he's able to play different spots on the D-line. He's not a low enough type of player. That being said, that could possibly be attributed to his back injury. Brandon Bean said, and I got this today, by the way. This isn't just Brandon Bean. I want everybody to know, today on the Extra Point Show, I interviewed a guy who followed him and covered him at Kentucky, and he said this is 100% accurate, that this guy's 2023 tape was off the charts, and he could have been a first or second round pick. He came back, and he just was not the same player, and it was most likely due to the back injury they found out on his pro day, really was what was going on in there. So that being said, I agree. And then, of course, Landon Jackson, a third round pick that I think, you know, is going to have a really nice NFL career. This is a great fit for the Buffalo Bills. I heard you earlier, Bulldog. I agree with you. This might be my favorite pick of the draft just because of, I think, what this guy can be, an immediate and in the future.
Also heard your conversation with a guest from South Carolina mentioning that Walker at Kentucky was a game wrecker 2 years ago in their game against South Carolina. I don't know. I know we can't know what, like, everybody's board looked like, but can you accept needing to trade up 15 spots for Sanders? Like, was he odds on not going to last to them? What their options could have been? You know, I want to bring up the trade because it's one of these where that's a pretty big move in round two. And I don't know, is it a player they could have lived without? Is it a player that maybe they could have even picked? Not that we can really know that later.
I know how you love the trade-ups, Mike, right? I know. It's like you figure you might be able to get a player comparable or maybe even wait to him for another 15 picks. But obviously the Bills really liked him enough that they felt they needed to do that. A lot of times what this comes down to, and what Brandon Bean and others have explained, and you guys know this, but in its simplest form, is there might be such a drop-off that if you don't get that guy, the next guy isn't worth it. So are we going to take that chance? What if he does go 10 picks from now, then the next guy there's a drop off there. So if we need that position and that guy's ranked high enough, you know, we need to go up and get him. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. And that's why you probably saw what you saw. On top of the fact that they did have the capital, they had 10 picks. They probably know that, you know, it's going to be tough for 10 guys to make it. You're a little bit more okay with, you know, moving around a little bit, giving up one of those picks. You got back into the third round. You're back into a spot where you weren't, and now you have another pick there. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll see. I would tell you this. There were a lot of people who thought the Bills could take T.J. Sanders in the first round, right? I mean, I didn't see him mock a ton there, but people talked about it, like, as a name that was brought up. So if you go from that standpoint, it seems like it's a fit at 41 and not bad value there.
You can't know, and we're saying that, there was only one defensive tackle picked between Sanders and when they would have picked at 56, and that was right away Alfred Collins, who we talked about for a minute on Friday, went at 43. So, you know, one circumstantial piece to this would be, well, if there were a run on tackles, you know,
right,
there were three that were picked right after 56, however.
Yeah, and it might be the way this Sanders reads on paper to me, Sal, is like, maybe I haven't gone back and looked at to line this up and cross-reference it with, you know, the guys that were also still there that Mike is talking about. But Sanders, I thought, you're not getting someone who can penetrate up the field at 30, probably. Like, those guys are going to go earlier. And this guy sort of slipped through the cracks and maybe represented the last opportunity to get a guy that could play that. I think the most questionable thing about his selection, recognizing it's a round earlier, is that it's sort of like a Dwayne Carter. Like, Dwayne Carter is supposed to be an Ed Oliver backup, right? Like, he's a rotational piece, similar style, and now I'm doing that again. And I might wonder, like, what's going on with Dwayne Carter? Did that not work out well enough or what? You know, I'd say competition isn't good, but it feels sort of like a duplicate. If Carter had been a successful piece for them last year, I wonder if they make this pick.
He was a healthy scratch a little bit down the stretch. I think that had a lot to do with the wrist injury when he came back. He just didn't have that power in his wrist.
Yeah.
Right? But you do have to wonder, you know, do they feel you know, really good about him being able to kind of be the same player. I don't think it has to be an indictment on him, because I would say it this way too, that it's a good point you bring up, Bulldog, and it reminds me, because Brandon Bean said that before they took TJ, Brandon Bean said they could see Dwayne Carter also being a backup one technique. And then you're like, I don't know if he can do that, but he said that. Then they take TJ Sanders, and he's not a true one technique, right? He's another guy, so it kind of puts you in the same boat there. And then what he said, and this is a great point you brought up, because his quote was, it's a lot harder to find penetrating defensive linemen like this than it is to find two down nose tackles, a true one technique. And that's right. And that, to what your point is, yeah, like, okay, we got this guy. Like, he's the best interior pass rusher on the board. Maybe he's really one of the best, maybe the best interior pass rusher in the draft, to be quite honest with you guys, right? So that's hard to find. Let's go get him right now. So, yeah, I think, and by the way, I mean, I don't think that anybody, like, doesn't love Ed Oliver in the Bills building, but there was a lot of talk last year that Ed just wasn't the same player, and he, you know, had a lot of, we've asked Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott about that, and this is also a little bit more of, okay, let's push out Oliver a little bit, maybe. That's, hey, let's get some insurance here if this doesn't work out long-term for a player that we're paying pretty nicely.
With Sal Capaccio, so again, it was a defense-heavy draft, and that's really not surprising. This morning, from Bean, we got a tell-us-how-you-really-feel moment here, to put it one way, with Bean and Jeremy and Joe on our morning show. He said, as he was almost ranting, how reporters over the weekend maybe set him off a little. There might have been something that he sort of was recognizing, or even maybe reaching a breaking point when it came to hearing about why no wide receiver here. Again, this has been years, Sal. And, you know, if I were Bean, I'd be like, did you not see the last 2 years, by the way? But anyway, how did it sound to you, and did you see it coming at all?
He did kind of say that, but he said just maybe about last year, right? He said to Jeremy and Joe, he said, like, I get people asking me last year, because we moved on from Stephon Diggs, but did you not watch last year? They scored 30 points a game, and it was fine. Like, it was good. It was really good. So he did say that. That was, you know, his defense for not taking a wide receiver. I think that today was a culmination of a lot of that, though. You're right, Mike. Like, he did. It wasn't, I was in the room, you know, and I go back and think about any questions that were asked. And he was asked a little bit about, do you have enough in the wide receiver room? And this has been a question all offseason and being asked to him. And I think that there probably comes a point with anybody where when you continually get those questions, and they're questions, but kind of also disguised as criticism in a little bit, right? In a way, right? I think that's what happening. And you've done the work, and you've put in, and you literally were set franchise records for scoring points. And we're the highest scoring team in the league, like he said, that at some point you hear that again as you're about to go on a radio station, and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about this. Like, what do you not like about the fact that we just scored 31 points a game last year, right? That's what we did. I think what's happening here, a lot of it is that, yes, there's 31 points a game. I think people are debating, maybe they don't like how you got there, right? And well, I think to the Bills, they don't care how they get there.
I don't.
We're scoring 31 points a game.
I want to tell you,
What do you care? Yeah. What do you care if James Cook scored 25 rushing touchdowns? And we didn't have the league MVP.
Absolutely correct. I don't care how they get their points. I care about whether it's sustainable or not. Like, can they keep doing it year over year the way that they did it? And look, I referred to last year as the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career. Right? We're gonna try to do this without a number one guy and see how it goes. And they got a few games into the season and went and traded for a number one guy. So, like, I that's still in my head. Like, I said earlier, Sal, to me, a part of my desire for them to supplement what they already have here in the draft this year is based on that. That they themselves last October went out and traded for Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. And then Bean and McDermott both were pretty hard on and talked somewhat like tough on Coleman and Kincaid both needing to do more, to be more ready, be healthier, stronger, bigger, whatever it is, learn how to handle some adversity in the case of an injury in Coleman's case. And all of those things to me are little clues. I mean, I can misinterpret them. That's certainly possible. But I myself felt like Bean's comments this offseason pushed me more to, of course they'll add somebody before pick 200 and whatever.
240.
You know, 240, thank you. So that's a part of it to me, too, that I'm having trouble sort of rectifying, I guess.
Okay, so I'll take them one at a time. I think the Cooper point is right. It's valid. It's real. I think that's more, to me, I look back and think it was more of a what particular kind of piece of the puzzle do we not have? And Amari Cooper was a guy, hey, we needed somebody to take a little bit more attention away from the other guys. He's not a separator down the field, but he knows how to run routes, get separation. Mm-hmm. They kind of went out, and what they did was they got a guy in Josh Palmer who's very good in those metrics, right? So when you look at losing Cooper and bringing in Palmer, they're kind of trying to replicate that, which is now we got a guy that can actually get some separation through route running, whatever, maybe take some mm-hmm. attention away. But you're right. I mean, they did do that. That's not a thing they didn't do. I don't think it was an indictment on the entire wide receiver core necessarily from his eyes. I think it is we're missing this one piece to the puzzle in a wide receiver core, so we're going to go out and get that particular guy. I think the second part, though, I would say, Bulldog, maybe going a little too far thinking that, okay, I'm going to say this about Coleman and Kincaid. I don't think that means they're sour on them in any way. I just think it's the reality of, hey, these are young players and we kind of need to get them to a better spot next year. But that's everybody involved. That's the training staff. That's the coaching staff. That's them together. But it would have stunned me, and as I said to you guys for the last couple of months, if they would have overdrafted Keon Coleman. Like, they just, as a second-round pick a year ago, the first pick of the second round, their first pick overall, I think that is, they're still all in on him, but it is still a bunch of faith in saying, we right. believe he can still be this guy that we're talking about here that we didn't quite get at the end of the year.
You know, it's commitment. And I'm less fired up about a perceived lack of commitment by the team at the position. I think it's a good debate. I think there's merit when you compare it to defensive line. You know, the cap space they've used on defense. They've poured tons of money into defense previous to even this draft. But I think for me, Sal, the bottom line is how good are any of them, right? Like, you're drafting, it's two things, and there's only so much you can know. But you're drafting for a position because we need this. That's part of Bean's argument today and always, is we felt like for our team we needed to address over here. But how good is Coleman? How good is Kincaid? How good is Palmer? How good was Cooper? Right? You're making an evaluation on a guy and high hopes, but he didn't produce. So that's really what's adding up here, I think, and adding to the frustration on this topic is, all right, well, I accept that you've made some of these draft picks, but who's my guy that I can trust with the game on the line?
Mm-hmm. How good is a guy who could draft too, though, Mike? Right? I mean, I think that's part of it. He even said in the interview he didn't think this was a particularly great class. So what are you doing if you draft a guy? Are you bringing him in and just adding him to a mix of what you just talked about? Because how good can he really be? Is he going to beat out? I mean, Brandon Bean was, you know, the people who say like he was honest, he was, and not just the emotionally honest. I think the football honest. I've said this. You guys know. If he said this right out. Like, who's he playing over? Like, if you go, he said, if you have your top four of Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, and Samuel, that's a good four wide receiver core. Like, where's a guy going? Where's he going to play? People forget. He says, Samuel, we can have that debate. There's no doubt. And I'm sure people are listening going, oh, come on, Curtis Samuel stinks. Oh, come on, he can't get on the field. He had an injury. I understand that. I respect that. I'm just telling you from a Bills standpoint that they have a lot of faith that Curtis Samuel is going to be a much better player because he'll be healthier, and Keon Coleman is going to understand the rigors of the NFL better and take care of his body better and be better coming back from an injury, and Dalton Kincaid did play hurt. So to me, if you add all of that up, I think that's why he comes at it from a standpoint he does, which is, okay, like, you want me to go draft a guy, but what is that guy going to do for us anyway, to be quite honest with you?
Yeah, there's a lot of merit to that. You know, I've said to the first two rounds, when and who was it supposed to be? You know, nobody mm-hmm. fell. I mean, mock drafts sometimes would have Golden or McMillan at 30. That did not happen on Friday night. And, you know, Saturday they make the move up, but even Burden is gone by that point. And it was what Bean, I think, would you disagree? By what he said and how he sounded today, he's telling you that was not the plan. Which that's one thing that was revealed here by how he talked was, instead of the usual, and maybe he did actually get to this too later, but we looked at it, you know, we're open to it, all of that. He basically, by getting hot, he's like, we needed this other thing more. And would you guys cut it out? Right? So right. It was like the facade was gone that, well, you know, maybe this would have fallen, this would have happened. And he did go back to say that, but come on, no. It was not going to, like you said, and a lot of people also felt like this was going to be a defensive draft, and it was.
Yeah, it was not the plan. The plan was to add to the defense. The plan was to get better on defense. The plan was to kind of, you know, shore up that side of the ball. For all of what Brandon Bean said, which he's right, you know, he does have scoreboard here when he says we scored 31 points a game, right? And right. Like for all that is correct and factual. Also add in, for the first time in 4 years, the Bills dropped out of the top 10 in defensive points allowed and defensive yards allowed. They were not good on third down defense. Like, these are real things that if you're in charge of a football team, you have to think about, right? Get the ball back for your quarterback. You want to score more points? How about we get the ball back on third down, right? I mean, these are ways that, you know, you have to think if you're building a football team, and I understand that from his standpoint. Look, I mean, we also know that they are bringing in Elijah Moore for a look. Last year, they signed Chase Claypool on May 3rd. They signed MVS on May 14th. The door doesn't have to be closed to still adding more guys, but the guys you add are still going to be guys that are not guaranteed to make this team, and let's see what they can do once they get here and get in the mix.
There are players who have just not been good in the NFL. And that includes Moore. Moore was a good prospect and a high draft pick, but he has not been good in the NFL. And that, again, is the point about what do the Bills really think about how much is necessary to invest in the position. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's not the number of players. We've had conversations together where you brought mm-hmm. up Shavers and other guys. You know, it's not how many bodies. It's like, do you have the right ones? And ultimately, that's how you get judged, right? I mean, wins and losses. But that position group, we'll find out this year, not for a few months, obviously, but we'll find out this year just whether they have the right pieces. Is Samuel actually good in the NFL at this point? And, you know, this was Hollins, too. What is his value? And he had some. Who's your favorite of their picks? Like, just sort of personally, or I heard you talking about the guy who went to Yale today a little bit.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think my favorite from a football standpoint, what he might be able to be, is Landon Jackson. But I really am intrigued by Jackson Hawes. And the reason is because, and I said this earlier today, and I'm going to say this to you guys right now. I'm going to make a prediction that this is your new extra offensive lineman. Yeah. I think Alec Anderson now becomes a guy who actually fights for a spot. I mean, Alec Anderson could be a regular backup. You can still use in that role. But to me now, the Bills, they're going to lean in even more what they did last year at a very high level and very successfully, which is run six offensive linemen. And the extra guy this time is going to be a guy that doesn't have to run up to the official and say, I'm reporting eligible. He literally is eligible by his number, and then he can go out for a pass, and he's going to be on the field. And I love the fact that he did go to Yale for 5 years. He has an economics degree from Yale. He then went to Georgia Tech to get to the NFL. That's why he did it. And he says he loves that style of game. He loves to be violent. He loves to block people, and he'll help on special teams. So for that reason, I very much like him, yes.
All right, Sal, great work over the last few days. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, it's our man Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
We will look for your calls again next on the draft, on the general manager and heated conversation he had with our morning team earlier today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Elijah Moore is here. He's a guy we've spoken to a few times leading up to the draft, and we just kind of put a pin in it, just like we did several other positions, and said, hey, let's wait till the draft and see where we're at, see if he's still interested. If we took a guy in the first or second round, he's probably not too interested.
Yeah.
But we didn't, and so we picked up those conversations over the weekend. He and his wife came up today and visited, and so we'll see. Nothing imminent today, anything like that, but a very good visit, and we'll see where that goes.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on One Bills Live there, confirming Elijah Moore's visit. No running back picked at all.
Nope.
A lot of teams without running back needs were doing it. The Bills may or may not think they have one, a need. They probably don't. But with or without any perceived James Cook concern, they stayed out of it. Man, running back. There were so many guys, as predicted. Day two, day three, it was kind of flooded.
Yeah. I kind of thought all along, if they were going to do something early, that then there's your warning that something's wrong. Them not doing it was very foreseeable. If anything, it could have been a flyer on Saturday late, like just any of these guys that they pick. But I don't know, like that depth chart, if Cook is to be, you know, assumed as here and ready to do what he did last year or some semblance thereof, that depth chart looked almost impenetrable to me.
As you were saying many times, why did they need to pick one at all?
Right.
John is next. Hi, John.
Hey, hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you're welcome.
Great show. Yeah, thank you. And I just want to comment from the show this morning and a lot what you gentlemen have been talking about. First off, hats off to Jeremy and Joe from this morning for keeping their composure and their professionalism, considering the way that the Bills GM came out swinging. Some quick points. As far as the defense, I know we went really heavy defensively this year, but I think what point can't be lost is the big picture. Previous draft picks, as recent as last year with Wayne Carter, who was inactive, Kyrie Elam, who couldn't crack the starting lineup. So my take on going heavy on defense for this year, especially the secondary, it makes sense because we were so poor. But we were so poor because of the moves that are made the past 3 or 4 years defensively that have not worked out. So I don't think Brandon Bean gets the pass for me on that because he's drafted poorly defensively the last handful of years, A.J. Panessa, Boogie Basham. So now we're forced to redraft defensively 3 or 4 years later for the guys that failed previously. And one more point that I want to make as well. I'm not sure Brandon Bean, you know, I know he watched last year's Super Bowl and the Eagles defense was really solid, but I don't think he watched the Eagles offense. And A.J. Brown, first-round pick, Devontae Smith, first-round pick. He talked about Kelce today. He's a Hall of Famer. If I recall correctly, most teams that have won the Super Bowl have had at least one primary offensive target. Even the Patriots, not many receivers, but hey, Gronk's a Hall of Famer. And we don't have that. And I'm very frustrated as a Bills fan that the receiving corps is so weak and there's been so little invested in it. And I think he's feeling the heat. He's feeling the pressure from the fan base. And yeah, those are my points, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for my call. And have a good one.
Thanks, John.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. It stands to reason that he'd be feeling some heat. They've had a very smooth ride here, these guys. I mean, almost no real trouble. I mean, the odd thing here or there, sure. But they put fires out more than a lot of organizations, effectively more, I think. You know, as much as the Diggs thing was a thing, I feel like an organization like the Dallas Cowboys, that thing would have been, I mean, it would have been three tents full of circus performers. So they've been, you know, in their lane, so to speak. Not to say like they you know, they have to stay in it, but it's not a rough ride. And now we're here, you know, it's been 5 division titles in a row, and it's another elimination at the hands of the Chiefs. And yes, the receiver that you will let the Chiefs draft in front of you had a better year than your guy. It makes sense. I mean, that they or he would be feeling a little more edgy because the fan base is edgy. I don't know where the owner is in all of this, but, you know, these jobs,
anyone.
Right, these jobs don't last forever, and they might feel over there like they got to win something more than they have won so far, at least an AFC title, to sort of earn the right to keep going. And so maybe that's manifesting itself in some way with being sort of snapping, if that's not too lazy a way to put it.
I think it's fair. Joe is next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, fellas, long-time listener. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was listening this morning with Bean, and I don't find it the biggest reaction of the Bills draft weekend, by no means. It was surprising because it was uncharacteristic for Bean, but it makes you think how many years this was brewing. Hardly the worst soundbite NFL Zach has said. But to defend him real quick, we can all say what if and what not, but for argument's sake, if the Bills kept their first-round pick in 24 and drafted Xavier Worthy instead of Coleman in the second, if you compare Coleman's stats to a 17-game season Ed Worthy had, it's very similar, more similar. I mean, still 100 yards off, more receptions. But I feel like we'd still be saying the same thing about this wide receiver room this year. We have Worthy, the speed guy, but what about a big target in the end zone, someone Josh can throw fade outs to, for instance? Maybe that's supposed to be Kincaid. I don't know. Talking wide receiver, I mean, maybe Justin Shorter. My point being, we'd probably still make an argument that the wide receiver room could use a player with intangibles like Coleman. So I'm not going to give Bean a hard time for the call. He's sticking with his guys. Would a speedy third-round wide receiver this draft that Bean admitted they didn't find that deep really make the Bills' offense that much better than what they had last year? Realistically, probably not. So I like that there are expectations for Coleman. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it performs this season. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Joe. If it's not unfair, what I would change about that is, and let's use Worthy, is how it ended. And that's not only his escalation down the stretch and through the playoffs, but it's the head-to-head. It's Worthy and Coleman on the same field in the AFC Championship, and one had a day. So I want to think of it a little bit more in the micro. The Bills, almost definitely, doing anything different in this draft, offense instead of defense, would not average 31 points a game next year. They were very fortunate on turnovers. It's not to say they weren't good, but both on offense and defense, field position, like, they weren't so bad on defense either that they were losing a lot, and they still put up that number. They weren't chasing, and they still did it. It's going to be tough to replicate that. That isn't much to say. So what I want, whoever, Luther Burden, one of my guys, why do I want Luther Burden instead of another defensive lineman? Because in that game next time, I have a better chance of making that play. I don't know who I have that's actually good, and who I have that I'm going to want to throw the ball to next time when I need to drive to beat Kansas City. Is it going to be Kincaid again? We just did that. Maybe, you know, when Sal ran down the list, everybody had an injury excuse. Okay, we've done that before. You know, that's maybe what I would do, not to say Sal, but that's maybe what I would do if I were the team. It's like, actually, he had an elbow. Actually, he had, I'm not saying it's not true necessarily. It's just like, okay, Kincaid, Coleman, yet to be good in the NFL. Samuel, just okay, and who knows where he's at. Palmer, just okay, and you didn't add to it. And if it's Amari Cooper, somehow, again, same. If it's Elijah Moore, same. So whether it's because of a commitment or a perceived lack of commitment at the position or just the choices you made at the position, do you have it? Do you have the sauce? And in Worthy, it looks like the Chiefs do, not to mention Rice from the year before.
Right. Yeah, when I said a few minutes ago, I'm not worried about how they score points, right? A caller used that phrasing. Like, it doesn't matter how they get their points. And I don't care how they get their points. What I care about is whether it's repeatable or not. Okay, and look, I know it's sports. I mean, there's always going to be variables and things that change. But the turnover stuff is a real thing that you should not expect to have. Look, you can expect to concentrate on it and do your work on it and think that gives you enough of an edge that you're going to be better at it than the average donkey. Okay, great. Are you going to be so great at it like you were last year to only turn it over 8 times and take it away as much as you did? Like, that can really trim the margins to me of what they were on offense and how they managed to accomplish all that they accomplished statistically on offense without this one player, this witch. And again, look, I'm not delusional to think that they were going to find that guy in the fourth round of this draft, but you do avail yourself of the opportunity to get a guy that outplays his draft status, maybe even right away.
Right. They definitely won't this way.
If you pick one, but if you don't, you're just stuck. Stuck isn't the right way to put it. You're not giving yourself that chance. And that, I think, is a lot of it. Like, I appreciate that they have scoreboard right now on the wins, on the division titles, and even on the offense and points scored. But is that bankable, or as bankable as you would feel comfortable with? That's really it. Because what is bankable truly, right?
Allen.
Right. But I think more, you got to keep going. And I don't know, I just really was surprised to hear him so defensive, I think, is what I want about it.
Let's go to, let's see, Adam next. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I listened to this morning, and I'm surprised no one brought this part of the interview up. Toward the end of the interview, Bean was basically, I'm siding with Jeremy on this and the media, because he said there's only one football. And then he brings up the fact that it's hard to satisfy, and that position, implying the wide receiver position, is hard to satisfy. It sounds like, A, he's gun-shy about finding a top wide receiver, and two, it sounds like this whole Diggs situation is living rent-free in his head by saying that comment. That's what that says to me, and to take it out on the media, like, all due respect, guys, like, you know, he's the Buffalo Bills GM. He needs to hold himself a little better than that, than just coming down on a couple radio DJs. Like, I think it's a little weird how he came across. I don't know if he just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. That's what he sounded like, but that's my opinion. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say.
Thanks, Adam. I don't think about Diggs at all. I mean, that was an alpha that he traded for, and that went extremely well. So he hasn't been, what, gun-shy? Historically, at that was trading a first-round pick for a guy that you want to make your number one, and he was correct in thinking that, you know, would happen. It was a good bet. I think it's been, it's just right in fit with everything since Joe Brady took over. Like, it's power football now. I thought going into last season, that's how they would play because it worked for them when Brady took over the previous year. It is what they did, and it went very well. Even in the playoffs, they averaged 29 points a game in three games against great teams. So never were they going to consider that a failure. Defense, more need, et cetera, et cetera. Do they – this is an opinion. And I think the answer is clearly no. Do they recognize wide receiver as – one of the most important positions in the sport, maybe as high as second? Apparently not, because what Bean gave you today was never ever were they going to pick one in the first 2 days of this draft. Like, I'm sick of hearing about it. It was not going to happen. We needed other things more. We're trying to build a team here, not play fantasy. By the way, fantasy is an easy mark. Anything having to do with stats is, you know, fantasy football. If he actually had thought about it, and maybe he did, The fantasy point is we don't have it doesn't have to be one guy that you can start in your lineups.
Just more guys.
Like last year's team, again, was successful as a team that did not have that. You didn't want to start any of them except for Cook and Allen. So look at the money. We're going to talk about this a lot. It's already kind of been, we thought, played out, but nope. It said, hey, let the fan the flames again. Look at the money they have invested at their receiver. It's a lot. It's not the most. Samuel and Palmer and Shakir, I didn't mean to leave him out before. I think he is good. I don't think he's great. Coleman with the draft status. Knox, don't forget about that contract either. That's a skill position, isn't it?
I believe that is correct, yes.
803-0550. We'll keep rolling. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR. Welcome back, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. If you missed the controversial interview this morning, Brandon Bean on with Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, find it on the Odyssey app or at WGR550.com or in about 7,000 places on Twitter, as it has attracted interest from all over the league, media and fans from all over the league. Next up, we have David. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. Love the show. Listen every day.
Thanks. You.
I have two things to say. Number one, I wanted to just my thought on this morning was that I didn't really think Brandon Bean's comments were directed necessarily right at Jeremy and Joe. I think he was probably, you know, the first show he went on after the draft, took a lot of his frustrations out based on a lot of the interviews that he had done. And I just didn't see it as he was sort of attacking them personally. Okay. That's just my thought on that. The other thing that I wanted to sort of bring up that you guys have been talking a little bit about is this whole Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman thing. And I just want to say, I think this is more of a Mahomes thing than it is a Worthy thing. If you look at a lot of the receivers that have played in Kansas City and left Kansas City, you got Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, all these guys left after being productive in Kansas City and did almost nothing to the next spot that they went. And in that particular game, it wasn't until Christian Benford actually went out of the game until Worthy started padding a lot of his stats with like five straight receptions, I think, against Kyir Elam, if I'm not mistaken. And so I just think that had a lot more to do with it. But I think this is a – Mahomes just makes everybody look better no matter who they have there, as opposed to this being purely a Worthy is better than Keon Coleman and we shouldn't have done that trade.
What do we do? What do we do with Allen in this formula?
Good question.
You know,
I mean, Allen also elevates everybody that he seems to play with, which is why a lot of people think he has a weak wide receiver room, but he still makes these guys look good. I think it's very similar. I just am saying the comparison. I think that that Keon Coleman, healthy, whether he gets his head straight, physically has all the ability to be sure. That receiver. It's just if he can put it all together. I'm just specifically saying that a lot of people sort of are comparing him and Worthy.
Sure.
And I just sort of think that this is more of a Mahomes seems to elevate these guys because when they leave, they seem to do not as much as right. when they're there.
Well, you've conveniently left the best receiver he's played with and who's gone on to have a fantastic career, say what you will about him, away from the football and whether he wants to keep playing for Miami, but Tyreek Hill, Exhibit A. Mike asked the right question there. Like you're saying Mahomes elevates, but like what, Allen can't? I don't know. That sounds like you want maybe too many things out of one point. And look, Worthy outperform Coleman. That's okay. It's not a one-year race, right? So we'll have some time here, but the early returns are not good. And the Bills' position and Bean's position within it, you know, choosing to make the transaction that they made at the draft last year is only going to cause you to have more attention drawn to it. It's just, it's natural. It's not even, to me, inappropriate. It's absolutely what you should do. It's sports. We let you have that guy. Some people here wanted that guy. They've got him. How's he doing? How's our guy doing? Who won? That's it.
Yeah, and it was a brave, to put it one way, trade. And Bean knows that when he makes it. This is the Chiefs, who just beat us in the playoffs, and then they ran it back and did it again with these two guys. One guy goes 6 for 85 and a touch. The other guy goes 1 for 12. Like, the Bills... Right back to trading the pick for Mahomes. Right, the Bills have been at the same time so great, but also fate has been so cruel to them in a couple of these ways where this one team they can't beat. It's four times now in the playoffs in 5 years, and three of them are super close games, the last three, and it's one play here, one play there. If I'm Bean, I'm sensitive about Coleman. Maybe I'm worried. Same on Kincaid, who was an earlier draft pick, and it's been okay. Like, he's not Travis Kelce. And now people were kind of hoping to see some version of Travis Kelce when they drafted Kincaid, but the timing's been off, and I don't know. I'm absolutely with you, though. I don't think it's unfair at all to make these certain comparisons because they're, like, obvious. Thanks, David. We'll talk some more after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.